Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I testify. My name is Rupert Cass, and I'm currently at the Vancouver Church in Canada. And I want to tell the story of how I came to the True Jesus Church and how I came to realize the True Jesus Church was the true church. Actually, I started my journey as a Christian when I was a baby. When I was a baby, my mom, she had me baptized in the Catholic Church. And well, we never actually went to church when I was growing up. When I was about 10 years old, my mom and my dad were having some trouble. And then a friend approached my mom and asked her if she wanted to go to her church. So I went to a church with her and my sister. My sister and I and my mom. And I remember the one day they said, would you like to go to heaven or would you like to go to hell? and they said that this is the Brant Street Bible Church, actually, in Burlington, Ontario. And so, of course, 10 years old, we decided we wanted to go to heaven. So my sister and I, we said a prayer asking Jesus in our hearts. And so they told us that after that, then we were guaranteed to go to heaven because we had asked Jesus in our hearts. And then about 5 years later, we started going to another church. And this church was in Toronto because we moved to Toronto. And so we started going to a Baptist church. And at the Baptist church, they said, well, you know, I know you were baptized when you were a baby, but your baptism wasn't good enough because you didn't go under the water. So at 16 years old, I thought, well, they explained to me, well, baptism is immersion. And so that means you go under the water. So unless you're baptized under the water, you're really not baptized. So I was baptized again. So that was my second baptism. So now I thought I was really going to go to heaven after this baptism. So anyways, when I was about 17 years old, my dad and I, we got sick. And we both got sick at the same time, but we actually didn't really talk to each other about the sickness. Well, we both had a sinus infection, and my father actually got kind of so miserable that from the sinus infection that he actually left with my mom, and the sinus infection went on for years, and I became really depressed because not only was it a sinus infection, but also it came with hypoglycemia, which is like low blood sugar. And so I even though before I was a straight A student and I had, you know, all the really good friends in school, but now I couldn't concentrate anymore, and I couldn't do well in school. And so basically, the sinus infection, I just, of course, my head would always feel kind of fuzzy, and because of the hypoglycemia, I had no energy. But it was so insidious. The sickness was so insidious that from day to day, I didn't realize how worse and worse I was getting. But all I knew is that I just started doing really bad in school, and I couldn't really explain it. And so I got depressed. And so I started hanging around with bad kids because I couldn't relate to any of my straight A smart friends anymore because I wasn't able to do well in school anymore. So then I actually started smoking drugs. And then I got even worse, and then I couldn't make it to school, and I actually even started to sell drugs. And so my life just kept getting worse and worse. And then, of course, I stopped going to church after I got depressed and hanging out with the bad friends. And in fact, the funny thing is that I started doing the drugs with my friends from church. But anyways,
Old Baptist Church.
The Baptist church that I got baptized in. And so So I just kept getting in more and more trouble, and eventually they put me in jail. So I was in jail for like 3 months. And I guess when I was in jail, then I realized that drugs wasn't the way to go anymore. So when I got out, I tried to kind of straighten out my life, and then but I got involved with a girl, and she got pregnant, and but I still hadn't turned back to God at this point. And then after, she didn't want to get married, and so we had a daughter, and so we just kind of moved in with each other, and just to try to with the idea of trying to raise a daughter. I guess when my daughter was born, and I got more quite serious about life because I could see my daughter, and then I went to the doctor more times, and then finally they gave me enough drugs to just kill this illness that had been giving me this low blood sugar. And by this time I'd failed out of school 4 years in a row, and before I was, a straight A student. So this so but once I got better, then all of a sudden my mental facilities and everything came right back. And so now I went right to the top of the class, actually, as soon as it came back in my marks. And so I became actually more positive about life. And then a friend of mine who is at an old church, he called me and he invited me to church. And then so then I started to go back to church. And of course, I was really sorry by this time, because I went back to church because I used to have a relationship with God, and now I look back on the last 4 years of my life, and I was in jail, and I was not married, and I had a daughter, and so I was really sorry. And so when I started to pray to God, and so almost every day I would say sorry, many, many times to God every time I prayed. And for about 1 year, all I would do was say sorry to God. And so I think because of that, I realized how far I went wrong. I became a very devout Christian, and so I would study my Bible for, hours every day, and pray for a long time every day, and even evangelize. And so I just became quite zealous to serve God. And so after a few years, actually, when I was 27, my mom invited me to a Christian camp. In this camp, there was maybe about, 50 or 60 people there. And the church I was going to, of course, up till that time was, pretty conservative, evangelical type church. But when I got to this camp meeting, I was really shocked, because all the people there, they were all praying in tongues. And I never even knew that anybody even prayed in tongues or knew anything about it. So I was quite shocked. And the speaker there, his name was George Ney, and he was about 84 years old, and he was telling us the story of his life and preaching in the state of Utah. And the state of Utah in the United States, if you know, is like the center of Mormonism for the United States. So he kind of devoted his life and his preaching to try to preach to the Mormons, to get them just to believe in Jesus and come out of the Mormonism. And so God actually gave him quite a spiritual gift to help him to preach to them. And so he would do many actual miracles among the Mormons, and he was giving the testimony of how he healed many Mormons from deadly diseases like cancer and other diseases, and how actually some Mormons actually threatened to kill him because of what he was doing, converting all the Mormons. So I was quite interested, and I remember while he was speaking, he said, "God has given me all nine spiritual gifts." And I just remember that sentence, because I thought, wow, I didn't even know about these spiritual gifts, right? So So, anyway, so after he spoke, and you know, he wasn't actually like a member of a particular church. He was just a preacher who just non-denominational. He just tried to get people to believe in Jesus and the Bible. So, there's kind of no church that he was associated with, but yeah, he just had this a passion to get people to believe in Jesus, especially Mormons, to bring them out from Mormonism. So, anyway, so after he spoke, he invited people to come to the front, and I don't know why he actually invited people to come to the front. Because maybe everyone was praying in tongues, so maybe he was going to pray to get them to pray in tongues. I kind of had this idea, but... And all the people were saying, oh, go up to the front, go up to the front. And I didn't really know why, but... And so I thought, well, okay, I'll just... At that time, I was studying for my final exam to be a chartered accountant. It's a very difficult exam. And only maybe 50% of the people passed. So I was quite nervous, and I was quite studying very hard. And I was feeling guilty with my relationship with God, because I felt like I was always thinking about this exam and always thinking about my studies. And so I thought, okay, I'll go to the front and I'll just pray and I'll ask God to forgive me for being so focused on the exam and not focusing on Him. And so I thought, that's what I'll do at the front. So when I went to the front, and there's about 8 people standing across the front, and the preacher was on the other side of where I was standing. I was on the far side. And he ran across all the people directly to me. And then... Actually, I have to tell you this. My stomach, when I had the hypoglycemia for those 4 years, it somehow ended up sticking out like a kind of African baby. I don't know, poor nutrition or whatever it was. Like, but it would stick out. And then... So when he ran over straight to me and he put his hand on my stomach. And I thought, oh, what's he doing? Like, I just came up to the front because I'm worried about my sins and he's worried about my stomach. I thought, this is so crazy. And so, anyways, he puts his hand on my stomach and starts to pray. And all the people around me, they start to pray. And it was, I just felt this huge power come down on me. And this power was this incredible love. And I never, ever in my whole life experienced love like this. And it just saturated every fiber of my body. I felt like I was just saturated by this love. I couldn't believe it. And so they prayed for me. And then after they prayed, I was still like soaked in all this love. And for like 3 days, I was walking around like a drunk person. I would just say, God bless you to everyone. And I couldn't stop smiling. And then my stomach gradually started to straighten out. And by the time I got to my church the next weekend, my stomach was completely better. It was completely normal. And so my church, of course, was a conservative evangelical type church. I was the evangelical missionary church at that time. So I was going around the church, of course, telling them all this exciting story that, you know, I saw all these people pray in tongues, and then he laid hands on me, and then I felt the love of God pour down on me, and my stomach is better. So I was quite excited. I was going around telling everyone, and then the pastor came to me and says, can you come into my office, please? I thought, it's his tone of voice, and I thought, well, what does he want? And then, so I go in the office, and he says, don't tell anybody this story. And I thought, why is he saying this? So, and then he says, if you tell the people this story, you're going to split the church, because if some people in this church don't believe in spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues and things like that. And so I didn't know what to say, so I just left, and I thought, well, I know I can't keep silent about this testimony, because this is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen God do, and I can't be quiet about it. And so I thought, what do I do? How can I go to that church and be quiet? And so actually I decided I just left that church. and I went to a church with my mom. And this church was like a church where a lot of the people who were at that camp meeting were attended. And so this church was actually, at that time it was called Living Faith. It wasn't really a part of a denomination, it was its own church. So I started going to this church, and this church had actually just been started. And this church was started by basically preaching and miracles. And so in this church, we would often experience like spiritual movement in the air. We could feel the power of God, like power of God in the air. And we would often see miracles. We would see, for example, like a person would get out of a wheelchair and they'd be completely healed. Even to this day, I know of some, like a lady from a wheelchair, and she's better to this day. And there was many, many miracles in this church. And the church grew very, very quickly. And I would always pray for things. And I always see God answer my prayers and many miracles in my own life and many different things. And so this actually became a way of life at this church. For years, I would just see miracle after miracle.
At this church.
Yeah. I'll just tell you about a few of the miracles that I experienced. My favorite one, of course, was there was a one lady, and she just started dating someone who was in jail. And she just got the idea of becoming a Christian. And the guy she was dating was in jail. And she was actually in a wheelchair. She had multiple sclerosis, but she was only, say, 29 years old. And so one day in the service, she was at the front, and then the preacher was preaching. He was kind of famous for a gift of healing. And a different preacher, actually. So all of a sudden, she got up out of her wheelchair, and she was like completely better, and she started to walk, and then actually she went down to the jail, and the guy she was dating was so shocked, and all the people in the jail were so shocked. She actually started a revival in the jail, and all the people in the jail started to believe in Jesus, including her boyfriend, because of this miracle. And she went to she was getting social assistance, and so she went down to the phoned the social assistance company and said, social assistance at the government, and said, I don't need your help anymore, I'm fine. And they wouldn't believe her. And so actually, it took a year for them to stop paying her, but until this day, she's completely better. Another one, my favorite miracles is, I just experienced a lot of movement of spirits, which, personally, yeah. Which were quite amazing. I remember I went to another camp meeting while I was at this church, and there was a speaker. Her name was Barbara O'Malley, and she was actually quite famous for doing miracles of healing. She was even on the Oprah Winfrey program because of her gift of healing, and she would pray for people in the Oprah Winfrey, and they would feel like a power come down on them. But I was kind of skeptical, actually, because when I was at this meeting, I kind of was very conservative, so I thought, it's not even right for a woman to be a virgin. So I was very skeptical of this woman, so I thought, how can God allow this? So I was sitting in the audience, and there was a young guy beside me, and he was maybe, like, 13 years old, and I'd been talking to him for a bit. It was quite obvious that, like, he wasn't really, like, a devout Christian or anything. Maybe he'd gone to church just a couple of times, but he believed in God. And so I wasn't really paying attention, but I guess he left. And then I was looking away, and then I felt this huge force field come up my arm. Like, it was like almost like on Star Trek, you know, you see the electric force field. And it was just this huge power. And then I just looked around, and I saw him sitting there. And I could feel the force field like coming off his arm. And I thought, wow. I thought he had just gone up and seen that lady. I figured it out. And just come back and sit down. And so I could just feel this incredible power. Like some miracles, of course, you could say, well, you could say, well, okay, I had a... you know, I had an ache in my body and now it's gone. So that comes from inside yourself. So how could you really testify to it? But because this came completely from outside of myself and was completely unexpected, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, that this God was real, right? And so, again, and now I feel many other spirits in the church. For example, I would walk up the aisle. I walked up the aisle once for prayer. The people were standing at the front. And I walked up the aisle. And it was like this power knocked me back on the ground. I was about halfway up the aisle. And it wasn't like, it didn't feel evil or harmful. It was just out of nowhere. It just came and knocked me back onto the ground. And then I would try to get up and walk again. And it knocked me back on the ground again. And the people were waiting for me to come up to the front, but I could never get there because I kept getting knocked down by this power. And so it's just, so that's, I guess, just through many miracles like this and other miracles, I just began to really strongly believe in God, and that God was very, very real.
When they prayed in tongues, did they fall down?
No. One time we tried that in that church, but we were kind of skeptical. But generally,
did they fall down when they were praying?
Yeah,
like
one or
these
two
healers. Do they touch hands and then do these people fall or no?
A couple of them did. Yeah, but we were kind of skeptical because we thought maybe that's not from God, like in the church, like among the people who were. So we kind of tried to stay away from that kind of thing, but near the end there, they started getting more involved in it. Near the end of my time there. So, yeah, that was one thing that we kind of questioned. Like, some people would say, okay, well, we'll just kind of go with it, and then...
Some of them started to fall down.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh, in prayer when they spoke in tongue, or when they were laid hands on.
When they were laid hands on,
they fell down.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, I never thought anything of it. I didn't think it was like...
It just convicted you that there was a supernatural power.
No, actually, I didn't really think that was much of a miracle.
Okay.
When people would fall down like that.
No. What I meant was the miracles that you're talking about. Like
the lady who was
healed of the MS. But what I'm saying is, during the time when she was healed, were there people who were praying who fell down when they were laid hands on?
Yeah.
Like, did it happen during that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but actually, incidents like that when they lay hands on you, I didn't really even really think that was maybe even God doing that. But when the other times when the power would just knock me down out of the blue, out of nowhere, when no one was around, that I believed there was supernatural power. I thought the other stuff, I thought maybe it's psychology, like when people would lay.
But either way, you weren't really sure what supernatural power was really knocking you down.
Yeah, I didn't even really.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, actually, one time
I
got knocked down myself. But not by laying hands on. I went to visit another church, and I had this really bad attitude in my heart before I went to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it in my attitude. I don't know. I just, sometimes you get grumpy about things, and you start to get angry at things. And then I just felt like that for some reason that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so. So I got to the church and I knew that my heart was not right. And then, so there was this preacher there. And then he just looked at me when I came in, when I kind of came in the room and up to, I think I came up to the front or came to the room. But when he looked at me, I fell down just right away, bang. And I could see, like, almost I could see like God's rebuke in his eyes because of my attitude. And then so I just fell over, and I thought that I believed was God. But when they, some of this, like, they would put hands on people and they'd fall over, I kind of thought that was a bit of nonsense, actually. Because I didn't really feel any spirit. Like, I didn't feel like any, and there was no, like, edification from it. There's no purpose for it. So I thought it was kind of silly. But, even one time that Barbara O'Malley laid hands on me and then I fell over, but I thought it was just kind of silly. Like, there was no purpose to it. Like, even though you fell down, there's no, like, you didn't feel any kind of a spirit or anything. You just, so there was a lot of stuff that happened that I was pretty skeptical about. And sometimes sometimes I would get really questioned the spirits or spiritual atmosphere in the church, because some of the people would come out of the church and they would, like, for example, some youth we would bring there, and they would be like swearing and stuff like that. But of course, they were already bad youth. They weren't Christians. But it didn't seem to have any kind of positive impact on them. So I really questioned some of the things that went on in the church. Some of the things I thought were from God, and some of the things I thought weren't from God. So it was hard. Hard to tell, like, mm-hmm. all the time what's going on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so that was my, and then what happened is I kind of fell in love with a girl in this church, and it didn't work out. So I ended up leaving that church, and so I went to a quieter church, like just a conservative evangelical church with no miracles or anything. And then actually for this whole time too, I was helping to lead a Bible study in my office where I worked. And there was maybe 100 people in the office, so maybe about, you know, 10 or 15 people would come each week to the Bible study. And I really liked the Bible study because, you know, Jesus prayed that we would be one. He prayed that all who believe in him would be one. And so I kind of really believed in doing whatever I could to kind of bring Christians together from all, whatever denomination they were in, because I thought that this was, you know, my effort to kind of fulfill Jesus' prayer for the unity of believers. So like, for example, I really enjoyed like cross-denominational events, like the March for Jesus and things like that. But at this Bible study, which I was in for about 10 years in this office, then one day three members of the True Jesus Church joined the office. And so it was kind of amazing that actually in a small city, with a very small church, that three members in Edmonton, that three members of the church would join this office at the same time. And so I used to go around to everyone's church that went to the Bible study just to, you know, share the Christian fellowship. So I tried to, of course, invite the True Jesus Church members to come to the Bible study. And then I was kind of a bit troubled because they seemed like really kind of fervent Christians, but they were sort of reluctant to come to the Bible study. But anyways, I saw the name of the church in the drawer of one of the sisters. And I saw a pamphlet, and it says True Jesus Church. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty cool name. And then I started thinking, I thought, you know, I was thinking, well, I should go back to a church as the Holy Spirit, because I know that God is very real, and the Holy Spirit can lead my life and bring my life to make me something useful to do the will of God. And so I thought this True Jesus Church has the Holy Spirit. And then, so I had no reason for thinking that, but I don't know why, this is maybe the name. But so I asked the sister, I said, can I go to your church? And she says, no, not right now. And I said, okay. She goes, wait till we have a special service. So I said, okay. So I went to the church. And when I got there, I was like so happy because I saw when we all kneeled down and we prayed in tongues, because I really like to pray in tongues, right? So I would kneel down with them and pray in tongues. And then actually I thought those sermons were kind of boring, but
when you went to a True Jesus church,
yeah.
You thought the sermon was boring.
I thought the sermons were kind of boring, and the members were falling asleep in the sermon, but but I
was it at a spiritual convocation that you went? A special service
the first time, but yeah. I kept going then week after week because I like to pray in tongues. And so I just would go to True Jesus Church on Saturday and my regular conservative church on Sunday. And so,
explain your tongue praying in tongues. Explain that.
The praying in tongues is, of course, different than ours. And in fact, I noticed that like right away. I thought it's funny that the people here, they only make one sound when they pray in tongues. They just keep making the same sound over and over again. I couldn't understand
it. True Jesus Church.
Yeah, the True Jesus Church.
It was alike.
Yeah. In the other churches, when we would pray in tongues, it would sort of sound like a language. Like, we would move our mouths, and it would sound like a language.
And so you were praying that way, too.
You
were praying, like, in a different foreign language that you didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
While everyone else was just making the one sound.
Introduced church.
Yeah.
Like a rolling tongue sound.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I couldn't understand that sound. Uh-huh. It's too bad they can't pray in tongues as good as I can. But I kept going. I thought that people were really nice, and I liked to pray in tongues with them. So I kept going week after week, and then every now and then they would say something like, they'd say, "We are the true church." And then whenever they would say that, I get really mad, because they would never explain why they thought they were the true church. That was the biggest problem, I think, was why I got mad. But I kept going, you know, because I liked the people, and then I liked to pray in tongues. So, and then one day after, and also I thought, well, maybe God put me here to help them, so to correct them, so that they can. So then one day they had like a spiritual convocation, I think, and so we were praying in tongues for a really long time, and so my mouth was getting really sore, like, from praying in tongues, like, because in a charismatic churches, we would not just pray in tongues, like, constantly. Like, we would pray in tongues and then pray in English for a while and understanding, and then pray in tongues a little bit, but they just kept praying in tongues constantly. So I was like, after like an hour or so, like, my mouth was getting really sore, and I was getting really tired from moving my mouth and praying in tongues like this. And so then they said, "Oh, okay, everyone come to the front." And I thought, "Oh, I can't believe they want to pray more like this." And it's like getting so exhausted. And I thought I was going to die. I didn't think how I could make it through like this prayer session that they were going to have like at the front. So
this was in Edmonton.
In Edmonton, yeah. So I walked. I didn't even really want to go to the front. But the one sister, she was like waving. She's like, "Come on, please, please, come to the front." And so I kind of walked really slow up to the front. And then I kneeled down to pray, and I was like, thought I was gonna die. I was like so tired from
your old way of praying, your old tongue,
And so when I kneeled down, I just started to pray in tongues like I normally did, but I just said one side. And of course, when we pray in tongues in the other churches, we don't pray in our mind; we only pray in the language
that you're speaking.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't pray thoughts in our mind.
Oh, not with your heart.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, just with our, we believe that we're communicating, of course, with our language, right? So we don't need to pray in our mind. So.
Okay.
But at this occasion, I did pray in my mind. So I just started to pray in tongues like I normally did, and I just said, "Help me, Holy Spirit." And as soon as I said those words, it's like a shock went into my body. And my tongue started to go super fast. And then my body started to move just like all the other members.
Yeah.
And I was like in shock, because of course I already thought I had the Holy Spirit, right? I wasn't praying for the Holy Spirit. I just said, "Help me, Holy Spirit." and then I thought, "Oh my goodness!" I thought, "This really is the true church," because I could feel by the Holy Spirit entering me. The Spirit actually, as soon as it entered, I thought, "This is the true church," but I was a little bit scared, because I thought, this doesn't make any sense in my mind, like. Because nobody could ever explain why it was the true church. And I thought, how could it be only Chinese people in the true church and not one single white person? And so I was a bit scared. I thought, there's something crazy going on. After the preacher even came to me and says, "Did you pray in tongues like this before?" And I didn't want to admit that the Holy Spirit entered me, because then I would be admitting this was the true church. So I just said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I did, yeah." So anyway, after I couldn't believe I lied like that, But I did. I was so scared, because I thought, this is all crazy. So then I went home. But I loved the Holy Spirit that entered me. So I just kept praying and praying. And even in my car, I would pray.
How is this experience different from the time when you first got it at that camp, when you felt the
love of God
drenching
down?
In? Did you feel the love of God in a different way, or same way, or how was that?
I just felt like power when the Spirit entered me. Power and comfort. a comforting power. I could feel this
in the Trigious Church.
Joy, this kind of a joyful comfort
in the Trigious Church.
Yeah,
and as opposed to the other one.
The other one was just like saturated in my whole body, but this was more from. That was more felt like it was from the outside saturating my body, but this felt joy felt like it was like coming up from the belly.
Right, just like the Bible.
Movement. Yeah, yeah.
It's like the living water coming from,
yeah.
As the Bible described.
Yeah, exactly,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then I could feel it, like almost coming from my belly, this joy.
Uh-huh.
And I could actually feel the Spirit drawing me back. When I first received the Holy Spirit there, I would stop praying, and I would feel the Holy Spirit pull me back to pray. And I would just go back and pray again. And then I'd go away, and I'd feel the Holy Spirit pull me back and pray again.
You mean
again.
At home, you were stopping to pray?
Yeah.
That you would be pulled back to pray again, to kneel down and pray again?
Yeah.
How long have you been visiting a true Jewish church by then?
That was after 3 months.
Three months. So this, you didn't receive it right away.
No, just that one day when I said, help the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the third month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was I just, not only pulling, but...
Mm-hmm.
But I would just feel this incredible joy in the Holy Spirit, of course. And I would even like sing in the Spirit when I was at home.
Did you ever experience that in your whole spiritual experience journey before? That joy and that inner peace? And
just that one time, I think, when the Spirit descended on me in that camp.
In that camp?
That's the only comparable time. That time actually was maybe even deeper than this time.
Than this time in Jesus' church.
But this Spirit I received, of course, was always with me. Whereas that was only a one-time thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When you felt drenched.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was only one time.
Yeah.
But the experience was similar.
Similar in that I could recognize this God by the love of God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, this is kind of the way I've been preaching the gospel to the other churches. Because over the years, of course, I tried to get some white people to come, but it's so difficult because they can't understand why it's only Chinese people there. And of course, with all the history of Christianity in the Caucasians, it's very difficult to accept that some church from China with 50 Chinese members is the true church. So so all glory be to God, and I just. Really thankful that I've received God's grace and that I have a chance to share it.